West Tigers fans, Easter is upon us, and that, of course, means our beloved West Tigers are playing against the Parramatta Eels. And for the first time in a long time, we are looking at back-to-back wins for our boys. Can they get it done? We'll preview the game tonight on another episode of the West Life Podcast. Welcome into another episode of the West Life Podcast. I am your host, Josh Barnett. We are brought to you by Holman Barnes Group, the best place to watch the game live and loud. If you're not heading out to CommBank Stadium on Monday afternoon, is West Ashfield, and they will have it up on the big screen. So thanks to Holman Barnes Group for supporting the show again. If you'd like to support the show as well, please go to @WestLifePod on Instagram and Twitter. And on those accounts as well, you'll find a link on the profile pages to everything we do, including a big bright purple button. We'll talk about our new partners just in a moment. Someone else coming on board with the show. And I know Rob Stradamus just quietly very, very excited about this one in particular. If you want to support the show, patreon.com/WestLife. And shouts to everyone joining us on the stream again. And thank you for coming back after a big, big Monday. 2 hours we were on the air on Monday evening. So we appreciate everyone in the last 48 hours listening. If you listen to the whole 2 hours of us going on and celebrating, look, it was a happy, happy occasion. But, yeah, we appreciate everyone joining us on that. So I'm excited to do. Probably not going to be 2 hours tonight, I promise. I promise it won't be a two-hour episode tonight. Aaron, you're probably not going to last 2 hours, so we'll try and get it done. But how are you this evening? Looking forward to another West Tigers game this weekend.
Yeah, g'day, Josh. G'day, Rob. G'day, everyone watching and listening. Yeah, I can tell you straight up, I'm not going to survive 2 hours tonight after the day I've had. But yeah, I'm super keen to get to the game on Monday. Very much looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a bit of a warm one on Monday as well. So have to see how that factors into things.
Yeah, it's a little bit under the weather at the moment. And Rob Stradamus, welcome in on another Wednesday night. How's the blood pressure and the heart rate, rather, since Monday night? Have we calmed down looking forward as opposed to looking back to a magical night at Leichhardt Oval?
Yeah, I'm loving my week. I'm loving life. I'm glad we're not 0-2. We're 1-1 for the first time in a few years. A lot of positivity going on. I got no expectations, but I just know now that we're capable of winning games and we're capable of playing a style of football that deserves to win games. So really excited, happy for the fan base. A little bit upset the Leichhardt Oval talk sort of distracting from what was a great victory, because it really was a great victory. It's probably the standout, you know, performance of the round from any team, given where we've been, given what we've gone through. So yeah, I'm just excited. I hope we can win. If we were playing, you know, the Strathfield Wombats, I'm going to tip the Strathfield Wombats because I just don't like jinxing my team. So
is that a real team?
Yeah, so that was... no, it probably isn't. But don't get offended when I never tip the West Tigers, because every time I tip the West Tigers, we lose. Not that helps when I don't tip them, but I'm just not going to ever tip them because I love them too much.
Yeah, Strathfield Wombats. I haven't heard that one. Is that actually a team?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm going to say I didn't think Strathfield had a team called the Wombats.
I think it's Strathfield Raiders. We've got juniors. Like,
yeah, that sounds right. That sounds right. Yeah,
Strathfield Raiders are based out here.
There you go. Speaking of local, so as I mentioned earlier, if you're not heading out to Parramatta on Monday, the best place to watch the game live and loud is, of course, West Ashfield. They have it on the mega screen. They obviously kick off at 4 o'clock. We're previewing that game this evening. And lost my train of thought then. Right, the restaurant. So they didn't actually ask me to talk about this at all, but I did see it on the socials today. They're redoing the restaurant next weekend. And congrats to, was it Kathy that won our $50 voucher, dining voucher this week?
I don't think it was Kathy. It was definitely a lady.
Kim.
Sorry, I got my K's mixed up. Sorry, Kim. Kathy is probably watching in the comments as well. Got excited. Yeah. West Ashfield might need another. Submit another form. Kim's watching. Good on you, Kim. She's on the Facebook. There you go. Sorry, Kim. Got my K's.
Well done, Kim. Great comment.
K's mixed up. So, yeah, be sure to submit a player rating form on Monday. Literally, I'll have it up on the socials probably before full time on Monday evening. So submit your form, submit a comment, and yeah, we'll pick another $50 voucher. So there's one waiting at West Ashfield for Kim, $50 to, they got a new pizza, a new Italian restaurant going in next week as well. And speaking of partners, so we have partnered up finally. We love talking punting on this show, and we've managed to find a partner when it comes to Rob Stradamus and all the our punting. Chasebet.com.au, they've come on board. So if you head, I mentioned at the top of the show, if you go to our link tree, so you can find that also. Remember, if you go to westtigers.com.au, so not West Tigers, incorrectly spelled West Tigers without the S, and you'll find a big purple button. If you go through there and sign up to ChaseBet, and then download the app, and then send them a little message, say you're from Westlife, and yeah, they're really good, friendly team. I know one of our Patreon members did just that today, and got a pleasant surprise from them. So I can't say too much legally, and I also need to say a little disclaimer. I would learn how to do this better. I need to find, there's a lot of things that we can't actually say when we're talking gambling, but Rob Stradamus, why I look for that. Very happy to finally, we talk a lot of punning on this show, and to make a partnership with ChaseBet, how good.
That's fantastic. And as you said, I think the people that join when they follow that link will be pleasantly surprised. And, I've had a look at their app and, put a very small deposit in just to check it out. And it looks very familiar with some others as well. So quite easy to use.
Yeah, definitely. It's a great app. So imagine what you could be buying instead. For free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Gamble responsibly. So, yeah, of course, it's all fun and games. Don't bet over your head. Don't bet over your head. What do they say? Don't bet over your head. Bet with your head, not over it.
I'm just loving that as you just read that disclaimer out, you didn't light up in flames, Josh. So well done.
It is Easter. Shout out to, I think we literally got 17, maybe it's 18 jerseys on order. So for everyone who did send their money through, I didn't get around to telling you all, but definitely Connor has put the order through, and that will be, on their way to the factory, I guess. I guess they're made in a factory somewhere. I don't know. That's Connor's job. But they're on their way, guys. So thank you. We literally have enough to name a run-on site come May when our jerseys arrive. So donning your Westlife jersey, all 17 of you, including us three as well. Can't wait for them to come. So thanks to Dynasty.
I'll be a winger.
You'll be a winger?
Yeah, that's probably the only position I'll be decent at.
Yeah, I was a hooker growing up because I was a bit of a nugget, so I'd probably throw a number 9 in the back if I could. Speaking of great hookers, I know Benny Lice had an opinion on this. So the Leichhardt Oval issue. It's an ongoing saga. Well after the weekend when we played at Leichhardt Oval, we of course talked about the comments made by Shane Richardson on James Graham's podcast on Monday's show. Well, Premier Chris Minns has come out and poured fire on that. He said, "I appreciate that they've got to make a decision about their club and where they play their home games. But we, as everybody know, have got $180 billion worth of debt in New South Wales. We've got massive pressure on the hospital system, education system. In addition to that, we're rolling out the biggest public transport in the state's history. And I don't have spare money to pump into Leichhardt Oval." I would say Leichhardt Oval is part of the education system, Roberto, but it's not looking good for our beloved Leichhardt Oval.
Previous governments have had enough money to put into Allianz Stadium, which basically looks the freaking same. There's no need to ever knock that down. Penrith, for some reason, have got a facility. I don't think they're going to get more crowds than what they get now. They've won three premierships in a row. So I don't think it was needed out there. Look, regardless of the West Tigers, I get the fact that, you know, you wouldn't spend this sort of money on a club that only has three, five, whatever home games there. It's got to be sort of full-time or not. But as I've said previously, if it's like a cross-code collaboration, that ground should be saved, even if we aren't playing NRL games there. It's too beautiful a ground. I just think, you know, the romance of it all. I mean, I've heard Richo say what he's had to say. And look, when it comes to Shane Richardson, I know everything he's doing is for the betterment of the club in its future. I get that. I also think it gets lost on how important grounds like Campbelltown and Leichhardt are. As I just said not too long ago on Twitter, I would be okay if we moved to Acor if there was a concrete plan that Campbelltown was getting redeveloped or something like that. But both Campbelltown and Leichhardt need government funding. That's not even close to happening. If Acor was our permanent home ground, I'd hate it. But I know you, like Richo, has to do what's best for the club. But personally, I live at Strathfield, it's you know, 20-minute walk and 5-minute drive. I wouldn't be going to watch games there because I don't enjoy it. Like I might go if I know it's going to be like a really big crowd. Like a say for example this weekend, Parramatta. If it was an Easter Monday game and it was at Acor, I would go to that because I know I've been there previously when both teams have been coming nowhere and we've got 45,000 or thereabouts. So
yeah,
with a big crowd, places like that are great. But as we said the other day, you know, like going to Leichhardt, it just invokes so many memories. And I know people don't like hearing from, you know, Steve Roach or Ben Elias because they weren't West Tigers, but they made a really valid point tonight. All the players from the Balmain Tigers and the West Magpies, like you've got 200 years of history there, basically, to just totally ignore that and say who cares what they think or what they do, I think that's just a little bit harsh. And when he was saying tonight, in particular Steve Roach, that they don't get invited to West Tigers games, and this week they've actually been invited by Parramatta to attend a West Tigers game, I think there's just something wrong with that. And look, Richo's been there 5 minutes. I don't know if he cares to fix that up or wants to fix that up, but I know personally from having spoken to Steve Roach, I got to go to a combined dinner. It was basically the West Magpies team of the century, Balmain Tigers team of the century, West Tigers best ever combined team out of both those clubs back in the early 2000s. And straight up, guys, when Balmain was dropped, I dropped everything. I didn't go to West Tigers games in 2001 and what have you. Like, I did not give two hoots. And Steve Roach pulled me aside and just said, you know, Rob, he goes, you got to get behind this, mate. He goes, you can't just not follow footy. He goes, you're basically killing all our history if you don't support it. Your kids should be supporting this. So the reason I go for the West Tigers is because of Steve Roach. So when I hear current West Tigers fans say, well, who gives an F about Steve Roach, or these blokes aren't West Tigers legends, they're Balmain Tigers legend, I kind of take offence to that because I wouldn't be a West Tigers supporter if it wasn't for someone like Steve Roach putting some common sense into me and saying, wake up, mate, just don't kill a tradition and a history and, you know, something your dad would have wanted you to keep going with just because you got the shits or you're having a salt that the Balmain Tigers don't exist anymore. So, look, there's a lot to sort out with that whole history. But, yeah, I just off the bat, you can't spend $40 million on Leichhardt to play five games. It has to be for multiple codes. We need all these codes to get together and basically say to the government, this is what we'll be using for. This is how many games. I think, Josh, you might have pointed out we had something like, 53 games there of different codes last year? So
83.
Or 83, was it? Okay.
According to Darcy Byrne. Yeah, that's what he said on the radio the other day.
I saw you put something on Twitter yesterday or today. I noticed. I didn't pay attention to the numbers. So obviously,
you and your Panthers fans.
Yeah, but I just laugh at the part about, oh, well, it's bad for parking and bad for this and bad for that. Tell me one suburban ground you go to where it's bad for parking, and then go to Acor or try and go to Allianz. Like, if I do go to Allianz, when I have gone in the past, when it was SFS, I haven't been there since, I used to park at the school just after you cross, what is it, South Dowling Street or something.
Yeah, Sydney Boys. Yeah,
$15 or whatever it was. $15, yeah. I'd walk 15, 20 minutes to the ground because it's an absolute shit fight to get out of there. At least it takes me a long time to walk to my car, but once I get to my car, I'm out of there. So I just
have to... now, which is good.
There's no perfect solution, guys. There's absolutely no perfect solution. Richo wants us to be financially viable. I get that. That's what our previous CEO wanted as well. And I know he's done that previously with South as well. He took him out of Moore Park, brought him to Acor. If it happens, it happens. And it doesn't mean I'm not going to support the West Tigers. It just means I'm not going to go to as many games. And I'm sure there's plenty of West Tigers fans out there that will love Acor and want to go there. And that's great. For me, I still feel like I'm sitting a mile away from the game. And I have to look at the screen anyway to see what the hell was going on. So I may as well do it from the comfort of my own home.
100% agree with that. Yeah, Leichhardt Oval. The experience overrides, and a lot of people have come out and said that. I think Peter Valandis knows that because he's come out and said, look, if the council want to sell us the ground, maybe they can. Look, I'm not smart enough to know if he can do. I know Peter Valandis will sometimes speak things into existence, like during COVID. He's like, we're going to be the first code back up and running, and he literally went and done it. So I don't doubt that he wouldn't.
Well, Josh, you might not have heard it.
There's half a chance to do that.
On 360 Night, Paul Kent and Steve Roach kind of alluded to the fact that potentially a deal has already been done with Acor and we don't know it yet. They actually think all this media hype is basically so, you know, they can sort of say, well, look, we're going to go to Acor because no one's doing anything about Leichhardt and was already predetermined. So I don't know. But one thing Richo has said, and I heard him say it on the James Graham podcast, is that we need more corporate facilities. And Leichhardt doesn't have that. Campbelltown certainly doesn't have that. So look, it is what it is. I just feel sorry for the fans if we end up going to Acor for a long time, because if we're serious about getting into the Southwest region, let's just forget Leichhardt for a sec. We're serious about getting into the Southwest, you know, MacArthur region. You know, if you're not having games in that area or many games, like look how many games we've had in the last few years, it's already too few and far between. So I just don't know how you get kids from there saying, I want to be a West Tiger when we're based at Concord and we're playing games out of Acor. But one thing I do know, Shane Richardson is smart enough to work that out. And I just want to make it crystal clear that I support whatever the club decides right now. It just means there's just going to be some people that like it and some people that don't, and some people that will prefer to go to Homebush and, you know, a lot of people that won't. And it is what it is. And we'll just cross that bridge. Right now, all I give a shit about is beating Parramatta on Monday.
Speaking of Acor Stadium, if you're hearing crackling, I don't know if you boys could hear the crackling or bang noise coming through my microphone. That's the sound of the Easter Show fireworks. So I literally live that close to Acor Stadium, and I still prefer Campbelltown and Leichhardt. Look, someone brought it up in the comments. I think I'm in John somewhere. Basically, I'm happy. In 2005, we did the three. So we did Acor, Campbelltown, and Leichhardt. And I'm totally fine with, like you said, the big crowd, the derbies. So when we play Dogs, Rabbitohs, and we used to have a reciprocal membership too. So we get tickets into Acor for the Dogs, Rabbitohs, and I think it was Dragons back then. We're playing out of Homebush. So I'm fine with this. Yeah, why can't we? I'm totally fine with us doing the derbies there. Easter Monday, I wish, like Easter Monday, like you said, is amazing at ANZ Stadium. We usually get 30, 40, 50,000 to that game. And I think when the Tigers get better, I think, I reckon, if, after last week's win, if this game on Monday was at Acor, I reckon we get 50,000 to the game. That's a completely separate argument because it's Para's home game. They want to play it at Para, but I'm happy for the Tigers to play an Acor home game every year and just cop that one for the Monday. And then, yeah, play the Rabbitohs. I know it's the Rabbitohs' home ground, but do the Rabbitohs really have a home ground advantage if we play our home game at Acor? Not really. So,
well, they might, Josh. That was their home ground, so they might. They play a lot of games there.
But it's not like we're playing at Redfern Oval. It's not an equivalent of Leichhardt for them. Like, Leichhardt Oval is... I don't care what anyone says. It's definitely... It's statistically more likely that we win at Leichhardt. It's literally a fact, statistically. But save if we're playing, Titans, Dolphins, Cowboys, like the interstate crowds that don't bring a lot of traveling fans, play them. Let's have a couple of nostalgic games. Like we've done it in the past. I hope. Look, I'm fine if we're being spoilt this year with a 5-5. But if they go to, we're getting rid of Tamworth, so that means 11. It'd be good if we get rid of. I'm sick of giving a home game to Magic Round. I think that's absolute bullshit.
I agree with that.
Half the teams have. Can we not just make it a neutral round and have a 25th round and just make Magic Round a zero or whatever, like, is that what AFL does as? It's like a zero or something, the first round?
So what the AFL have their own Magic Round, which they call Gather Round, and that's an extra game that the teams play. So it's a 25-round season this year with opening round, and all teams are playing 23 games. So 11 home, 11 away, and the neutral Gather Round.
All right.
Josh, well, AFL's gotta remember too, maybe Magic Round, maybe, like, and rightfully so, probably, when you think about it, maybe Pasco and the board decided we'll have a home game in Magic Round because they knew deep down that our membership was really as low as 7,000. Like, maybe they knew that this is just one less home game we've got to worry about trying to fill. So perhaps that's the reason we were doing Magic Round now. But I'm just hoping, as I said Monday night, I really hope, I don't care if you like Campbelltown or not, I just think if we pack Leichhardt and we pack Campbelltown, we're actually increasing our argument to keep these suburban grounds. So and also we're actually showing, that the local government out in the Camden area that, hey, if you redevelop the stadium, we'll fill it up because if you can't fill up Campbelltown when you're winning games, like just say, we win the next few games, we might not, but if we're doing well and then we travel to play St. George and everyone's expecting like we're a big chance of winning that, if we can't pack that ground out, I don't care if it's Friday, Saturday or Sunday, whatever day we play it, then there's no reason for the government to say, well, how can we justify spending money on a stadium when you don't even fill it out now? So I really want everyone, if they can, to really make a big effort to try and get to some Campbelltown games this year. 100%. As well.
It's a Sunday afternoon in the middle of the school holidays against the Dragons, who are probably one of the biggest travel, and it's a pretty easy drive for the Wollongong contingent. So if that has to be, we've got to pack that place out.
Bloody oath.
Get your tickets. If you got the membership code somewhere. I know I dropped it in the Discord. So if you've got a membership without Campbelltown, you can get a discount on tickets. So bring the family, pack the hill, pack the grandstands. We'll be there. Can't wait for that one in a couple of weeks. Speaking of members, so the West Tigers, they said there's been 811 new members to the club over the past month. They're up to 8,050. So if you haven't bought a membership yet, then get on it. Support the boys. They're winning. They've won a game. So I know a lot of people. How many wins are we going to get for people? The people are saying, I won't join until they start winning. What is it? Two in a row, three in a row? What will that threshold be? The thing that will suck for them is they get season tickets. You missed a Leichhardt game. You missed a Campbelltown game. You lose the value in your season ticket. So jump on now.
Unless they start decreasing the cost a little bit after some games have been played.
Might be pro rata.
Righto, let's get preview. Let's get to Monday's game. And oh my God, this is one of the best backgrounds I've ever seen from a guest. He might be a Parramatta fan, judging by that. Is a look. It's I mean, blue and gold for me is my basketball team, so I wouldn't mind a room of a different blue and gold. But Troy, coming from the Para Cave, that's sensational, that wall you got behind you. Introduce yourself, Troy, and how are you this evening?
Look, I'm going well, fellas. Thank you very much for having me on your show. Really appreciate it. Lifelong Parramatta fan for about 37, 38 years, and got a bit of a podcast going, my own podcast, the Para Cave podcast. So interview former players and fans about the game of rugby league. Awesome. Also tipping podcasts and breaking news podcasts. Round review podcast with community radio.
Beautiful.
I've even interviewed a few ex-Tigers players as well. So,
oh, yeah? Which ones?
Jimmy Jack, Paul Sirenen.
Nice.
They're probably the two biggest ones that I've interviewed from the Tigers.
They've been on this show. They're legends.
Legends, yep. Absolutely.
That's awesome. I guess there's quite a few. Rob, can you think of any... And as well, trying to think of West, obviously Hodjo is a big one, Paddy Richards, Joel Reddy, any other Para Tigers combos across careers?
We've got a few right now. Ryan Madison, Kel Mataulangi, Joe Offengawi,
Mitch Moses.
Between Para, Manly and
Papali'i,
the Tigers.
Yeah, probably, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, one going the other direction for a change.
Yeah.
Troy, can I say unlucky, mate? Because your last premiership was 38 years ago, and you said you've been following him for 38 years. So
I'm guessing
you haven't seen a premiership yet.
Did you like the match that burned down the stadium?
I was too young to do that, but I probably could have been playing with matches at that age. But no, that wasn't me. But that was actually my first real visual vivid memory of watching Parramatta play was the grand final, so in 86. So we've come close a couple of times. We should have won it in 2001. 2009, we won't talk about that. 2022, well, I don't think any side was going to beat Penrith on that day, although we gave it to them for about 15 minutes, but that was about it. So, yeah, it'll happen. Don't worry.
Troy, is your man cave the one that I might have seen on the fan?
Haven't been on the fan, but
was it another NRL show? I'm sure I've seen your man cave on TV.
Yeah, it has featured on Sterlo's show back on Fox back in the day.
Okay.
2022 got a bit of coverage as well with the grand final during that week as well. So it's been on a few shows, Channel 10 shows as well.
Yeah, I knew I'd seen you before somewhere. I just wasn't sure where.
Yeah.
That's goals, right? Obviously, in a different team, but goals right there. I need to make a Tigers cave one day. Righto, if you're feeling up to it, are you able to run us through the West Tigers team list for Monday's game?
Sure can. So fullback is Jareem Buller. Wingers are Charlie Staines and Junior Tupou. Solomona Fa'atape and Justin Ollam in the centres. Lachlan Galvin and Aiden Caesar are the halves. Stefano Utoikamanu and David Clemmer are the props, with Abby Corrissau the captain at hooker, Isaiah Papali'i and John Bateman in the second row, with Fanua Pole at lock, Jaden Sullivan, Alex Saifarth, Asu Kapoa and Samuela Fainu make up the bench, with Justin Matamua 18th man, Latu Fainu, Alex Lobb, Brent Naden and Talon De Silva in the reserves.
Obviously the big one there, Rob, I believe it's the only change this week. Kepa'ola in for the concussed Twolley. A bit of an odd, that was a surprise to see that come Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, look, we're very short of middles in our squad. There's obviously a big case for Matamua to be there, but to replace a middle with someone who's basically played an edge is a little bit risky. So you would think that Samuela Fainu will probably get a little bit more time in the middle. Just for anyone that is wondering why Sione Fainu isn't there, he's injured. Also, Jakey Simpkin, just in case you're thinking of a backup hooker, he's injured. So I don't know if there's going to be any late changes, but yeah, I mean, let's just hope Asu Kapoa can do what Alex Saifarth did last week and go from an ordinary performance in trials to a great performance like last weekend.
As if you were Benji Marshall, who would you have replaced Twally with?
I probably would have gone the Matamua path there. I think that probably made the most sense. I'm just really worried about Asu Kapaoa and the sort of role he plays. I feel like given the loss of Twol, Matamua probably would have been the better choice to fill in for him there.
Yeah, it's odd because obviously Jaden Sullivan, as I was going to say, maybe he doesn't use him, but that would mean that he has to use Jaden Sullivan at some point. It's a weird one. Not having
we effectively played with 15 men last week, guys. Twally only played 18 minutes, and we didn't. No offense to Sullivan, you could tell Benji just wanted to make sure that game was absolutely in the bag before he put Sullivan out there. So we played with 15 men. I mean, the great thing is we've got basically a 9-day break to the game, so the boys would well and truly have been rested up. But I just think it's a really big ask to go with 15 men to play every week. But that said, I would believe Benji Marshall's got enough faith in Kapoa to give him a lot more time, than what, obviously Twally was, wasn't allowed for to only have 18 minutes. So I'm sure Kapoa will get bigger minutes. But, yeah, with Sullivan, unless there's an injury, I don't see him coming on till the last 10 or 15 minutes again like he did last Saturday night.
We're not going to be able to play with 15 players this week, though, because of the fact that after this game, we have a 5-day turnaround to playing the Dolphins. So you can't play 15 players and then expect them all to back up after such big minutes, especially the forwards, after such a short time.
And it's going to be pretty warm on Monday too. So, it's going to be some sore legs to recover. Troy, as a neutral, did you see our game against the Sharkies on Saturday night?
I did. It was very impressive. Obviously, the Sharks got off to a good start, scoring the first try, but then you guys just blew it away. Very impressed with the way you guys played. Whether that could have been the Leichhardt factor on a Saturday night, who knows? Very impressive.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was. Yeah, look, the Leichhardt factor, I think, is worth maybe 5 to 10%. Maybe it's even less, but in the comp, like the NRL, 5 to 10% can be the difference between a big win and a loss. Especially, like, that 5 to 10%, I feel like, is the West Tigers when they don't have anything to play for. Like, they turned up on Saturday night like they had something to play for, and they really lifted for the game. Whereas in years past, the last few rounds, they don't turn up to play. They're kind of out there playing. And if you're not up for it in the NRL, it's when the pendulum swings the other way. So the Leichhardt factor a little bit, but the boys just came out like they had a point to prove. So hopefully Monday, changes. A bit of an injury update. So Alex Twol should be back next week. Jackie Simpkin got concussed in Cup. He should be available next week as well. Sione Fainu is due to come back. They did name him, didn't I? Oh, no, Lashu Fainu was named.
Yep.
On the extended bench. Stafford Toa is still a few rounds away, although Fata Ape doing his best to secure that center spot. He played pretty well Saturday night. And then Adam Dwyer, obviously, late June is when he is due to come back. Righto, as run us through the Eels of Parramatta.
Will do. Captain and fullback is Clint Gutherson, Mike Acevo and Sean Russell on the wings, with Will Penasini and Morgan Harper in the centres, Blaise Talungi and Dylan Brown in the halves, Regan Campbell-Gillard and Junior Paolo are the forwards, with Joey Lussick at hooker, Sean Lane and Bryce Cartwright in the second row, with Jermaine Hopgood at lock, Luca Moretti, Ryan Madison, Joe Offahengawe and Kelma Tuolungi are the bench. Offahiki Ogden is not actually. I think is Bailey Simonson 19th, 18th man maybe. 22. Okay, so Offahiki Ogden is 18th man with Wiramu Greg, Brendan Hands, Makahesi Makatoa, and Bailey Simonson in the reserves.
I think I said this last time we played against him. But any relation to Tony Greg, Wiramu Greg? Same spelling. He's got a silly hat.
I think one's South African, one's Kiwi. So. Nah, I don't think so, but good
South
to see
African,
you
the, South African that played for England. But Rob, who it's a still a pretty good looking side. Obviously, no Mitchell Moses there. Is that the Mitchell Moses factor for you? Does that give you a little bit more confidence than our boys? You're on mute, Rob.
It certainly makes it easier, for us. It's going to be a hard game, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, you take a playmaker out of any team and they're definitely going to be weaker. And I think also the fact that it gives Dylan Brown more of an organisational role, because Dylan Brown is such a devastating runner of the ball. That said, Parramatta, like of any Brad Arthur team, is just so tough. They are match-hardened. They're tough. They don't beat themselves. They've got a really parochial crowd at Combank there. And I just know in a lot of previous games, you know, I'm not alluding to anything bad, but they just seem to get the rub of the early penalties and they can really get a roll on. So we've really got to stay with them early. One thing I'd like to ask Troy, because I'm a bit confused about this Bryce Cartwright situation. Is he out for 6 weeks or is he playing on Monday?
Well, I guess we're not going to know until either game day or the day before, but it certainly is a bit of a mystery, isn't it? Because I've seen the same reports as what you have. Look, we saw last week Kelma Tuilagi was supposedly had a dislocated shoulder and wasn't going to play against Manly, but turned up and scored a try. So, look, I personally don't think Bryce will play. I mean, a rib injury can be pretty hurtful and painful, and especially playing first grade rugby league. So I don't think he'll play. I think potentially Kelma will go into the second row and either maybe Brennan Hand will come on as that number 14 position, or they'll put Wirra McGregor onto the bench.
Okay. So Maddo's in that middle rotation, isn't he? Like, because Maddo can play on an edge.
Yeah, so I'd probably leave him on the bench as well. There has been talk that he may start as well, due to the fact that you got the young 5'8 there, Blaze, and Dylan as well, but as a bit of a bodyguard, so to speak. But I think I'd probably leave him on the bench as well.
Does Ryan Madison demand overtime if he plays more minutes?
Well, yeah, maybe. I think he's got that out of his system now, Matt, I think.
Just a quick shout out to, I actually played basketball with Bryce's brother, Ben. I saw he actually got engaged today. So shouts to Benny Cartwright getting engaged today. He's a legend of a guy. And I believe their dad just got appointed president of St. Mary's Rugby League. So, yeah, big week for the Carty family.
And that's obviously going to be a big Carty party somewhere, sometime. Mm.
Yeah, I saw that on Facebook earlier. He actually used that terminology, the Carty party incoming. So, yeah, congrats, Benny. He's probably not listening. He's not a Tigers fan. But it's pretty funny as looking at that bench, literally 3 out of 4. We're talking about ex-Tigers. I'm trying to think, how will we sneak? Is Zach Sandy still in your system? Could you sneak him onto the bench?
New South Wales Cup centre, New South Wales Cup centre.
Yeah. Oh, I loved him. How is he doing? I miss him. He was a bit of a cult figure for us, especially after we beat the Dragons.
The debut.
In that game, in his debut, yeah.
He was a legend for a whole week.
Yeah.
Certainly was. I remember watching that game. And, look, he's going okay. At the start of last year, he was pretty good in our trial games, and we thought he may have got a start into first grade, but just hasn't cracked it at the moment into first grade at Parramatta. So it may happen later on, depending on injuries and suspensions, I guess, if they happen. But very tough to get in Will Penasini's spot.
If there's a player that, especially on this show, that we've mentioned the most, that we miss, that we've let go, well, obviously there's one obvious one for me, but across the three of us, a player that we tend to miss here, Joffa Ngaoue. We're big fans of Joffa on this show. How's he been for you guys so far this year?
So far this year, he's been impressive. He's been starting the games with Junior Paolo coming off the bench. So he's been starting. So he's been pretty impressive, solid. We didn't really see the best of him, I don't think, when he transferred last year. I think suffering from injury. So, but definitely this year he's started pretty well. And as I said, started the game instead of coming off the bench. So I think that'll probably still happen this weekend as well. I think Junior will come off the bench again. I mean, I don't know why he would change a winning formula, but some people say that Junior will start, but I think Joe will.
As Kelman Tuilagi, we're all pretty, when he signed for Manly in the 2022 season. So he signed for Manly for 2023, if I got that right, I think. We're all pretty devo about that, but yeah, is the Kelmer Tuilagi, do we miss him as much as Joffa, do you reckon?
No, I don't think we do. I think the thing with Kelmer, and it's a similar situation to a couple of our ex-players that are over with Manly now, like Tommy Talau, where their defence was a massive liability. And I think Kelmer proved while he was at Manly last year that his defence was still a liability. But I've noticed the one thing that Brad Arthur's been really good at is working on those players who haven't been good defensively at other clubs and turning them into better defensive players. Would you agree with that, Troy?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we've seen that Brad is a pretty good development coach, and turning, I guess, fringe first graders into regular first graders and even representative players. So Kelmer has been probably, he was one of the standouts, I thought, in the trial games, and he got rewarded by getting the start against Canterbury in round one, and he's kept his spot for the other two games. So as I said before, I think we all thought he might have been gone for a few weeks with that shoulder, but he was back next week. So look, he's looking good, he's looking fit, he's big, pretty mobile, scored a good try on the weekend. So yeah, I'm pretty happy that Parramatta have picked him up.
Rob, is there anyone that we haven't, I know you dropped out for a little bit there, but is there someone in the Eels side that you think is going to give us a bit of trouble?
I'm not sure who you guys have mentioned, but definitely the way Junior Bowler was offloading the ball last weekend, he was an absolute machine. And that's the thing I find with Parramatta, and this is going back the last two or three years, when Parramatta just promote the ball, like hit and offload, they can beat anyone. But I just find a lot of Brad Arthur teams, when they get to the semi-finals, they seem to tighten up and they don't play their natural game. If the Eels play their natural game and produce offloads like they can, we're in for a world of hurt. So definitely Paolo. Look, obviously Dylan Brown will still be a threat. I think a great matchup is going to be Tuilagi, the new kid that played centre last week for them, that's 5'8", up against his former Westfields teammate in Lockie Galvin. So that'll be a great matchup. You know, obviously I'm going to back the Galvinator. Like, he's just the best young kid I've seen in a bloody long time, guys. He might not be the fastest bloke in the world, but he is our future. He literally is our future. I'm so excited about this guy. And I'm just expecting big things and that's going to be a tough matchup. But look, one matchup I'm not keen on is Sivo against Charlie Staines. Like, I think that's a real size mismatch. Hopefully Sivo's been on the Big Macs and the beers the last few weeks while he's been on suspension and he needs a gather. Yeah, Guffo's always good for a meat pie against us. Look, I don't think the fact that Moses is out means we're going to win at all, but I know if we play our best, we can win. Whether that happens on Monday, I don't care. I'm just happy that I've got a team that I believe can do well now, and I believe in Benji. And you know, the fact that Benji can shoot four over on Saturday morning at Concord Golf Club and win a game Saturday night gives me a lot of confidence as well.
Well, that's an exclusive.
I think we can put all that to bed now about you know, being a part-time coach. So, look, there was a lot to like about what we did last Saturday night, guys. It was only one game, but I just feel like there will be plenty of wins when we're on. But it's obvious that our depth is really tested now, having Capoa come in. I really think he didn't have a choice unless he debuted someone, you know, from position 21 to 30, and I don't think he wanted to do that. I don't know what the issue is with Matamua, why he didn't get a start. Perhaps there could be a late change come Sunday. We don't know, but, you know, in Benji we trust, guys. And Benji, like I said at a press conference, you know, we've got to back it up next week. He that was the one thing he did say in that very short press conference, that we need to back it up.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe Fainu. Could Fainu come in? Is he hiding a debutant outside
Latu
the side?
Fainu? Well, if Latu comes in, you can't have Latu and Sullivan on the bench. So
yeah, he's a half, I guess. Yeah.
One thing I would say with Sullivan, if Sullivan only gets another 10 or 15 minutes again, we need to put him back to cup to get his fitness up. He can't be playing 10 or 15 minutes every week and still be in peak fitness. He's going to need a full game with someone at some stage. So that's just something to worry about in a week or two from now.
Righto, stats man, what have you got for us this week?
Well, this is the Easter, what's been a traditional fixture now for the last 9 years. This is the 10th year. The record as it stands, Parramatta have beaten us in 5 out of 9, and we've won the other 4. So this is the game where after a decade of Easter Monday fixtures, we can even the ledger at 5 apiece. And I think that's what the goal is going to be. And looking forward to hopefully a really cracking game of footy.
So I've got the stats for previous matchups. So I should have made it a bit bigger. My old eyes, someone called us old and middle-aged in the comments I saw them. I am turning.
It certainly applies to me.
Yeah, 36, my eyes are starting to go. So just trying to work out the Easter. So last year we lost 28-22. We obviously went to that game, boys, and that was, I thought, of all the games, that was obviously the day that Adam Dwayhe went down with the injury, and I thought before he went off we did all right. And, of course, a year before that was the field goal to Jackson. Was it Hastings or Brooks?
Hastings.
Yeah, Brooks, he was...
the highlight of the year.
The low
light of mine.
I did a lap around my backyard, Troy.
I still remember seeing the video
footage. That is security. Let's hope that happens again on Monday. In 2021, it was 36-22, in front of 29,000 people at Allianz. I can't really remember that one. I'm trying to think. Maybe I'll block that one out of my memory. So obviously in 2020, we didn't get our Easter clash, unfortunately. We're in lockdown for Easter that year. 2019, we lost. I missed this one, 51-6. I was actually in Jamaica that morning.
I was enough. There. Hated it. Hated every moment of it.
Yep. Turned my phone on and, yeah, wanted to jump
it's
in.
A great day, that one.
Never saw it, never will. 2018.
It didn't happen.
2018, we won 30-20, 30,000 people at Stadium Australia. And then the year before that, 2017, Eels 26-22. On my birthday in 2016, I remember this one, we lost 8-0. Dog of a game, ruined my birthday. That won 36,000 people at Stadium Australia. 6th of April in 2015, we won 22-6. So basically in 2014 was the Brooksy. I remember that one well, Brooksy's intercept try, and we won that 21-18. So basically it's bounced back and forth, Troy, this Easter matchup. Yeah, you get one, we get one sort of thing the last couple of years. You got us last year, we got you the year before. So it's always a good, apart from 2019, it's always a pretty decent contest.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is always, I guess you could call it a danger game for Parramatta. I mean, most recently, I guess you could call them the favourites going into this game every year, but it's certainly a danger game, and probably a good thing for us is the fact that you guys won last week. So you guys need to back it up and get that win. But as you said, very close contest. There was a 31-30 there. 21-18, as you said. And one of the memories I remember from one of these games was the Pat Richards try in the corner to seal the game off, I think it was James Tedesco chip kick into the corner.
Ugly little chip kick going in.
Yeah, it wasn't the best, but ended up with the result. But just want to get your guys' thoughts about this. And what about if this game was played at Acor every year and to get those 40, 50,000 people crowd, considering that the Easter show is next door. And I guess the fact that each club would probably have to, I guess, give up a home game every each year and, you know, then do the reciprocal membership rights. So each team's members get in with their memberships. Do you think that'll make it like a spectacle, an event? One of the games that obviously both these fans, both our fans would circle on the calendar to get to?
We obviously, I think you missed, the start of the show. I think you joined, hopped on just before we chatted, because obviously the whole Leichhardt talk, we talked a lot of stadiums and Acor. Rob is predicting that an Acor deal is probably already done for us to go back to playing games at Acor. And I said that I'm happy for us to wash out the Easter Monday if we have to. I'm happy for the West Tigers to host Easter Monday every year and, pack the place. Yeah, it's literally every time we play at Allianz Stadium, it's 30,000 plus pretty much. So I'm happy. What's the capacity of Para? About 30?
Yeah, 30,000. And I think on Monday, I think if it's not close to that, then there's something wrong because, I mean, you guys had a win on the weekend.
For sure.
We had a win. It's Easter Monday. And I think it should be packed out. But, I mean, the Dragons and Roosters, I mean, they play Anzac Day, I think, every year at Allianz. I mean, only because that's in the city as well. So it's good for the Diggers to get to the game. But that game's there every year, so they know how to do that sort of thing. So there's no reason why Parramatta and Tigers can't do it.
I like you said, Troy, because I think it's a very fair idea that you give up a home game every second year. And it's at the same venue. And I know, I don't know if the crowds, you got the crowd totals up there, Josh, but that.
Yeah, I do.
That Brooksy Intercept, wasn't it like a 40 to 50,000 crowd that day?
50,668, I was one of them.
So I remember being there in the away section using my member ticket and you know, sitting on the opposite side to where the cameras normally are, up high in the nosebleeds. But luckily, I was with a whole group of Facebook Tiger friends that day. There was about 30 or 40 of us. It was packed. It was a great atmosphere. And both teams were going pretty crappily as well. So to get that sort of crowd was amazing.
And as Troy said, the Easter show is a big factor as well next door.
Carrot.
Like people make a day of it. The game day experience, if you can go in and out of the Easter show in between the game, which I have done before when we played these games at Monday, you go after the game finishes at 6 o'clock and you go watch the entertainment and the fireworks. It's a great day out with the family. Like, why not? We've got to have these big events in the NRL. Like, we always have the AFL fans sticking it to us that we don't get big crowds. We need to have these things to showcase that rugby league fans do actually go and watch games.
Well, don't get me wrong, if Leichhardt's not around in a couple of more years, I mean, I think every game will be played at CommBank Stadium anyway, so.
Yeah, I hope not.
I think we might have lost Josh there.
It's very convenient stadium. It's
Can
you hear me now, boys? We're taking turns. And
yeah, you get
we've got
you
some, you're coming we've got some in audio and out, issues with you, Josh.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, yep. Got you now.
Yep, heard that.
Yeah. I lost my train of thought now. We're taking turns and shit internet tonight. It happens every This is a tradition on this show, Troy, that
the
live stream, you need a supercomputer to basically run smoothly on this thing. We'll go to Rob Sadamas anyway, and we'll, as I try and think of what point I was trying to make there. So Rob Sadamas, we are obviously sponsored by ChaseBet now, as I mentioned earlier in the show. So ChaseBet are actually going to create markets for us too. So we're going to have a chat with them week to week, and they're going to be able to put up bets for everyone to get in on. So when Rob Sadamas puts his bet of the week, we can actually, they're actually going to create a actual button for people to go in and actually, a market is probably a better word.
A Rob Sadamas market.
Yeah, so you can actually go in and we can all get in on it. This one isn't yet because we've obviously only just started this relationship, but what are you thinking this week, Rob? I like the fact that it's back in the boys this week.
Yeah, I think I've got to start doing these ones, especially with our new sponsors, where we're doing something with the Tigers every week. So just to play it safe, I've gone with the +8.5. I've got Jareem Buller as an anytime try scorer, and I jacked the line up a little bit, and I've gone on the unders. I just can't read the total that I put there.
9.5. I'll open the ChaseBet app and I'll see what they've got at the moment.
Yeah, you can work that out. Yeah, and then obviously, like, we've had a pretty good run with the horse tips as well. So we gave you three last week. Brave Meat got up at about somewhere between $4.50 and $5. I gave you Militarize in race 6 over 2,000 metres, and it got scratched and moved into another race. So we put a line through that, although it raced in another race and came third, but it was an unsuitable distance. And then I think I gave you guys Sunshine in Paris at about $9.50, and it ended up starting favourite at about $5 and lost by a nose. So we got very close. But yeah, if you want to read out the horse ones that I gave you, Josh, which I can't remember the name of the one tomorrow night off the top of my head, but it's definitely one that I black booked. And I'll give you a couple for Saturday as well.
So you've gone Thursday, Pakenham, race 6, number 11, Tarview. And then Saturday at Flemington, race 8, number 1, Mr. Brightside. I mean, I'm assuming the price.
It'll be about even money.
It's a good horse.
Yeah. And the last one, Mark Twain, will be about $5.
Funny enough, I know we mentioned with Az being on Jim Jefferies' show last week, that his podcast this week is about Mark Twain, funny enough. So there you go.
There you go.
An omen. So I learned about Mark Twain listening to Jim Jefferies the other night.
They've bought this over from New Zealand, and I think Flemington will really suit it. So you might just want to read out the race number and the number of the horse, Josh, just because I interrupted there.
Yeah, race 9, number 13, Mark Twain. So,
and anyone listening live will get onto our Thursday tip, and if you're listening to it on Friday, unlucky.
check the results. It may have won already.
Gamble responsibly.
What's gambling really? I'll just say it again. I know I said it at the top of the show. What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. So yeah, go to, if you want to find how to get onto the ChaseBet app and support our new partnership, if you go to the link in our Instagram or Twitter pages, so our link tree little link there, or westtigers.com.au, you'll find a big purple button to click on there. So sign up through there, and then send the guys a message, say we sent you, and help support your boys and go from there. And there's also, if you're watching this on YouTube, I've got a QR code up there. So if you're watching on your phone, I guess you can't do this, but if you've got it up on your TV, point your camera at it. I sound like a bloody, someone called us middle-aged before, I sound like a bloody middle-aged person talking technology here. Get your phone, unlock it, and then point your camera at the QR code, and it'll take you to the website to sign up. So get on it, and let's get on to our tips of the week. So Just to reiterate from Monday's show, I'm 4 points ahead of the boys. I'm on 17 points, tied first in our Westlife comp. The boys are on 13. I'm on 17. I'll give a shout out to who else is not. I'll just open up the ESPN app. But we've all gone the Chookies in this one, boys. And on the, I'll give you the, currently as of Wednesday at 9:35 p.m., the Chookies are $1.55 favorites against the Panthers. Troy, it's not, not who are you tipping this one? It's not often that the Panthers are outsiders.
Yeah, I'll go the Roosters in this one. Panthers got too much out, I think, and Roosters are near full strength, so I'll go the Roosters in that one.
So shouts to Benjamin C, Brocker, and Shane Coet, and A. Williams. They're all on 17, tied with me at the top of the table. So let's hope that those boys don't get many tips right. Don't tip. They got a bit of an advantage. They can see what I've tipped, so they could they can tip the same and yeah, stay tied with me. But boys, anything to add about Roosters Panthers?
Oh well, obviously Sandon Smith's out, and I know in reserve grade Billy Smith copped an injury and he's going to be out for a long time. I just think this will be a low scoring game, guys. I really think this will be one where, if you like taking the total points band, 31-40 looks really, really good. I'm not writing the Panthers off. Whenever they get a replacement halfback, they seem to do quite well. From a West Tigers perspective, boys, I think it's going to be very interesting to see how Luai goes. If Luai's just going to still play second fiddle to Schneider, who they're bringing in, or if he'll take more of a controlling role. So from a perspective to next year, it'll be really interesting to see how Luai goes. But I think this will be a tight game. Penrith are still the best defensive team in the comp. And how Sam Walker got out of his HIA is just a typical Roosters rod, isn't it? He must have got, they reckon he's got two independent doctors to pass him. I think the doctors were Dr. Phil and Dr. Jekyll. And, and somehow
Dr. Evil.
Got him out of his bloody HIA. Like, if was anyone else, they just would have copped it on the chin. But the Roosters know how important Sam Walker is, and he'll be backing up on Thursday.
Yeah, Sam Politis. Nick Politis. It's his personal doctor, obviously. Rabbitohs Doggies. Rob and I have gone the Rabbitohs, who are $1.50 favourites. As you've gone the Doggies on Good Friday afternoon. Look, it's at a core stadium, a home ground for both teams, so I would imagine it's a big crowd with a lot of fans from both sides, so not really much home ground advantage, I would think, for the Rabbitohs. And obviously their members get in for this one, so you might be a little bit more Rabbitohs than Doggies, but it might be. Well, I might have to lock my windows if the Doggies get up on Friday, because they'll be
beating the drums,
running amok. Yeah, but as why have you gone the Doggies?
Yeah, I just don't have a lot of confidence in the Rabbits at the moment. They are struggling. They're bereft of answers. They just don't know what it is they're doing at the moment. And they just got pummeled by the Roosters. So they're last. They're one of the only two teams that haven't grabbed a win yet. And the Dogs, they're honestly just riding high on confidence and a bit of momentum at the moment after absolutely thrashing the Titans at Belmore. So the Rabbits, they've lost a couple of key players as well. I just think the Dogs are going to sniff the upset in this one, and I'm backing them.
Troy, Dogs or Rabbitohs?
Well, it is Easter time, so I'm going to have to go to the Bunnies this one. I think they're a special omen at Easter time, I think. They have a pretty good record, but they desperately need to win to get their season back on track, even though they are a club in crisis at the moment.
That's an excellent answer.
I've had a look at the Rabbits draw for the next month or so as well, or like the next, basically up until Magic Round.
Bloody tough, isn't
it? Possible. Yeah, it's quite possible if they lose this game to the Dogs, they might have 2 or maybe 4 points, including a bye, but by the time Magic Round rolls around it. So they could be in incredibly dire straits if they lose this one.
You know, kick him out of the comp again. Broncos, Cowboys, this one very close to even money for this one. It's always It's a great derby. We're talking about Sydney derbies. This derby's always great. All three of us have gone the Broncos, who are slight outsiders, Rob.
Yeah, Josh, if we didn't do our West Tigers multi for Rob Stradamus, this was going to be my hot take for the week. I really think this is Golden Point. These guys play so many close games against each other. If it's not Golden Point, it's going to be separated by a field goal. I think the Broncos are absolutely desperate. They get Adam Reynolds back, which will be help. Cobbo's going to shift back to centre, and they'll start Tristan Saylor at fullback. Cowboys are playing great, but don't forget, guys, they were like a Raymond Fatala Mariner brain fade away from being down 24-4 last Saturday before our game. So they're a little bit rocks and diamonds. They snuck away with a win the week before against Newcastle. But I just think it's going to be an absolutely cracking game, probably the best game of the weekend. And I'm tipping Golden Point. So I don't know who's going to win. I had to pick someone. I went the Broncos.
Just looking at the chase bet odds. So to go...
match and exit on.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the draw bet. So Broncos draw $34. Cowboys draw $34. So 34-1
team. That's the halftime, full-time thing.
Yeah.
I'm saying at the end of the game, I really think it'll be pretty close. Yeah. It'll be probably somewhere between $13 and $17.
Draw, 67-1. Maybe a sneaky couple of dollars on that one. I know. While we're right now, I'm going to put $2 on that. Nice. Gamble responsibly. I'm not gonna I don't think I have to read out the whole freaking spiel. It's me. I'm telling myself to gamble responsibly.
I think you need to read put $2 on after that's responsible.
That's responsible. It's responsible not to put
read it out the hour every hour to yourself.
Just a whole podcast of me reading out the hotline number.
Repeating it to yourself.
Manly, we've all got Manly. They're heavy favourites against the Dragons. Is this one a Cogra or the Gong? I can't.
Win. Yeah, it's in the Gong.
In the Gong, $3.20. Look, a bit of value there for the Dragons, Troy.
Potentially a little bit. They do seem to play a little bit better down in Wollongong. I don't know what it is down there, but
the ocean breeze.
Yeah, maybe. But I think the Seagulls, I think they've just been playing some good footy at the moment. They'll get the win down there.
Tommy Turbo's playing. It's hard to bet against them. Luke Brooks to have a blinder.
They'll be bitterly disappointed as well about losing to Para. So I think they're going to come out pretty fired up for this one.
Yeah, 8.5 start for the Dragons. I don't know. You don't reckon?
Not enough. Manly will bounce back. I mean, Manly's defence a couple of weeks ago against the Roosters was ridiculously good. They're up 14-0 against Para, and if Troy doesn't mind me saying so, if the ref didn't give Para a couple of ridiculously bad piggyback penalties out of their own side of the field, which I think Manly were complaining about, that game might not have turned. Manly were all over Parramatta till they got a tiny bit of a leg up and you know, full marks to Para after that. They took advantage of it.
The Dragons are also my only team to let me down my tips last week, so fuck them. Titans, Dolphins. Rob and I have gone Titans, as you've gone the Finns up on the Goldie.
I sure have. This one's a tricky one as well. I'm backing the Dolphins because the Titans look like they're in as bad a position as the Rabbits at the moment. Yeah, they've played one less game, so they've got 2 points from the bye, but Tino was a massive out for them. He's gone for the season with the ACL injury, so I hope he recovers well from that. But, I mean, they've got Jaden Campbell coming back at fullback, but I still think this could be a bridge too far for the Titans, and I'm honestly not 100% sure when they might get their first win. Things look to be in dire straits for them, and I think they are a legitimate chance for the Spoon now. So I think the Dolphins will take this one.
Sorry, I just had the Simpsons, a fridge too far joke in my head when you said a bridge too far. anyone, Troy or Rob, you got any thoughts on Titans? Rob, you've gone Titans?
I only went tight. I mean, I agree with Aaron in the sense the Dolphins are playing better. They're a better team. They've got a lot more going for them. My ridiculously poor logic, which is probably why I'm down on the tipping ladder, is if the Titans don't win this game, when are they going to win a game? I think Campbell does make a big difference at fullback. He'll get them in better field position when they're starting their own sets. Their forward pack still looks good. I know they're missing Tino. I know they're missing Fifita. Like, there's a lot of strike there. I think the thing for the Titans, they're going to have to stop. They're going to have to just shadow the Hammer wherever he is. I think the Hammer could have a big day, and I'm just backing that the Titans are going to get a rev up from Desi. And if they don't win this game, I won't mind getting my tip wrong, because that I agree with Aaron. If they lose this game, I think they're heading for the wooden spoon.
Yeah, you got to nail the Hammer before he gets going. We've all gone the Warriors heavy favourites against the Knights over. Look, New Zealand and New Zealand, I'll probably pretty much tip every round this year. Troy, would you disagree with that at all?
Nah, I think they'll win in New Zealand for sure.
So Knights are nearly paying $3 on the Chase a Bet app. As you've gone, the Canberra Raiders playing in the Shire against the Sharkies. Rob and I have gone Sharkies. What's your reason? Because they smacked our ass 2 weeks ago?
It seems like this is the round where I'm zagging, where everyone is zigging. If the Broncos-Cowboys game isn't the game of the round, I think this one has the potential to be. Sharks are at home. Raiders coming to visit them. They've had a fairly decent rivalry over the last few years, and I've got a little bit more confidence in the Raiders at the moment. The Sharks copped a few injuries out of the game against us, and I'm not too sure about Cale Eero, the new center they've got debuting. So I've gone the reasonably, to me, they're the underdog, but to me, it's the reasonably safe bet in the Raiders to get the win here.
Rob, Sharkies?
Look, I've gone the Sharkies just because I think, you know, Fitzgibbon will really be pissed off with their performance against us. I definitely agree with what Aaron's saying. They are down so many forwards. They're starting with Hazleton, a prop. They've moved Sifa Talakai, who was an absolute beast against us, from left centre into the second row. And they are starting Iro. I don't know much about him, but I'm guessing he's a son of Kevin or Tony Iro, who played many moons ago when I was
going to say, I recognise that name. Yeah,
there were a couple of big Kiwi units that were just unbelievable athletes. So if he's one of their kids, he'll go okay. But look, Aaron's right. Canberra playing well. They had a pretty good stranglehold on the Warriors in New Zealand last week before the Warriors made a late flurry and got home. So it could definitely go Canberra's way. That's why I keep telling everyone, just wait for the first four rounds and you know, your tips are just like a bit of a lottery this week. So
it's tough. Yeah.
I'll go Cronulla for the bounce back factor, but for no other reason. And again, that's a tight game. The Titans Dolphins is a tight game. I think there's quite a few tight games.
What's your pick in this one, Troy?
I'm going to go with Aaron on this one, Canberra Raiders. I think, as Rob said, they had the Warriors last week. Obviously got the couple of wins in the first couple of weeks. Everyone was sort of tipping them maybe to be coming down the bottom of the ladder, but they've surprised everyone. The Sharks, disappointing last week. Obviously not for you guys, though. But
great.
I think Canberra will get the win.
Four enough start for the Raiders. Yeah, I think it'll be close. It'll definitely be close, that game. And of course, the match of the round, Tigers, Eels, as and I are sticking loyal to our boys. Rob, you didn't learn your lesson last week. I said tip the Tigers. I'm going the boys this week. I reckon they're going back to back. They got their tails up. It's going to be an ambush. Look, if Mitchell Moses was playing, I think I would have gone the other way. That's what's tipped the scale for me, is the Moses factor.
Mate, we're back-to-back wooden spooners. The Eels are home. Like, I don't even know why they need to show up.
I mean, old things. That's old news.
They can just put 11 men on the field and they're going to win. We're just going to be worried about the Dolphins next Friday. We've got no chance of winning whatsoever, and I think Parramatta are home, and if that's not the kiss of death, I don't know what is.
Troy,
is that like reverse psychology there?
Roberto reverse psychology. Para home. We can't win. It's all over. I don't know why even people are going on Monday. It's just
Para specials.
Para specials. Tip of the round.
Troy, why are you boys going to win this?
Oh, look, I just think the way they showed last week that to come back from 14-0 down to get the win. And, look, they're going to have to do it tough this week, obviously, with Mitchell Moses out, probably Cartwright out as well. Time for Dylan Brown to step it up and own this team at the moment whilst Mitchell's out. The unknown factor of Blaze as well at 5'8", he's probably his preferred position. And look, this is, as I said before, this is probably one of the games that both sides probably circle on the calendar. It's a pretty special game, and we'll just want to keep on that momentum that we that Parramatta have had in the first three rounds of the season.
Troy, just on Blaze, what did you make of his debut game? For me personally, I liked what I saw, ball in hand, and I think he's got a lot to offer in the halves there. Obviously, I haven't seen him play in that position yet, but he does look like he could be a bit of a liability defensively, based on his performance in the centres, although that could be a little bit more on Morgan Harper than on him.
Yeah, a little bit of both. Could potentially be with Harper, but I think he did have a few deficiencies in defence early on in the game last week. But then I think he sort of, in the second half especially, sort of realised how to defend in the centre position. He pulled off a great tackle on someone who I think made a break and just got past him, and then he managed to take them down. So he'll be better for that run there. And, yeah, 5'8 is his preferred position. So last week he was playing out of position. He'll go better for it this week.
Troy, given that Moses is out and you guys generally play Moses on the right, Dylan Brown on the left, will Dylan Brown still be on the left, do you think, or will Blaze like take that spot and Dylan move to the right, or will Dylan play both sides and just they'll both play both sides of the ruck?
Oh, look, personally, I think Dylan will still stay on the left. He's still got Sean Lane there, and we know that combination for 2022 worked well. Didn't go so well last year, but slowly getting there as well. So I think he'll stay on the left-hand side and Blaze will go on the right.
Just looking for how much Appy Coruscant. I'm going to mention, I think, I can't remember if it was last episode or the episode before when we were talking about it was a Cronulla Sharks preview, talking about how the one time I missed Robbie Farah's hat trick, and I always backed Robbie Farah to score a try. So I'm just looking for the market for any time try scorer I'm going to get on.
While you're Appy looking for Coruscant, that, I'll just point out $4.33
for Appy to score a try. I'm going to put a little bit of money, gamble responsibly.
That's not too bad when he's already got a try for the year. But the other thing we've got to remember
He should have scored last week. I high-fived Rob thinking I'd won a couple of $100.
You did. I remember.
Yeah, he broke that tackle and passed it off to Ollam instead of going himself. But
he dropped it. He dropped it over the line.
That one too. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I was just going to say, the other thing we've got to remember about Para is when they're on the field, you've got a whole other team of referees that you've got to remember. You know, Captain Gutho over there spends more time with his arms out appealing to the umpire than he does actually playing the game more often than not. So that's an issue there.
But does it work?
Often yeah, it does.
Well, can't blame him, can you? He's got to do it twice as much this weekend with Mitchell not there either. So
true.
Yeah, Mitchell takes half the burden for him when they play together.
Righto, on to lower grades. So in Harold Matthews, the Magpies are playing against the Eels at Eric Tweedle Stadium. Any idea where's Eric Tweedle Stadium, Troy?
Granville, I think.
Granville, okay, it's not too far from Lidcombe. So Eric Tweedle Stadium. There's a stadium in Granville? I know El Jarnes is in Granville, but I didn't know there was a stadium.
Let me just double check.
The Balmain sides are playing at Leichhardt. Who says that Leichhardt doesn't get used all the time?
Maryland.
Okay.
It's probably an Elgana there too, isn't there?
Yeah, they're everywhere now. They're franchise. Penrith, Blacktown. Yeah, they're everywhere. I still, Elgana's, if you're listening, you've got to open one on the Central Coast. Send an Elgana's up the Central Coast. The entrance is a perfect place for an Elgana's. Please put an Elgana's up the Central Coast. A big, big market up there. A lot of people love their chicken up there. The Central Coast needs to know how good Elgana's is. There's a free plug. It's sponsored the show. We just gave you, buddy, 30-second ad read as well. SG Ball there at, I've got to make these bigger on my screen, 12:30 on Friday. They're playing on a Friday. Didn't realize that. 11 a.m. and 12:30. Yeah, Friday. Oh, it's good Friday. Duh. It's a public holiday. God, I'm an idiot. And Saturday afternoon for our Balmain teams at Leichhardt Oval. New South Wales Cup. Rob, I know you're not heading out to the game on Monday. You would have got two games for your ticket. New South Wales Cup pregame, CommBank Stadium 140. So Brett Naden's been named at fullback. It's a Lob City on the wing. Josh Felity is back from injury as well. We've got a Lashy Fainu at halves. Who else we got to keep an eye on? Matamua at lock. Talon De Silva coming off the bench. So, yeah, plenty to watch. A lot of young kids. Stars
in the future. Should have a pretty good chance in this one too. Parramatta's coming last on the ladder at the moment in New South Wales Cup.
Okay.
Isn't that despite you guys? Did you guys beat the Bulldogs in that really high-scoring game in the first round, or did they beat
we ended up going down in that game, and Sam, the centre, scored 5 tries in that game.
Wow.
Yeah, I do remember that. It was like 38-36 or 38-34.
I think 38-34, yeah.
Just a reminder to everyone listening that game, the reserve grade game, is going to be live on Fox and KO.
Okay. Beautiful. The Jersey Flegg side are playing at New Era Stadium. I have no idea where that is. 3 p.m. Saturday as well. Why wouldn't they play them at Leichhardt with the others? Anyway, New Era Stadium up against the Parramatta Eels. Oh, it's your home game. That's why they're not playing at Leichhardt. That makes sense. Where's New Era? So why aren't they playing? I don't know how it all works. That's why are they not? That is a character. Okay. Why aren't they playing at Eric Tweedle, whatever it's called, stadium? Why don't they light them up? Doesn't make sense. Anyway, that does not make sense. In the girls, so Tasha Gale and Lisa Fiola, they're playing against Manly, and they're playing at Brookvale, 10:30 a.m. and 12:30 p.m. on Saturday. So if you want to get out and support the girls on the North Beach, the weather's meant to be pretty good. Go to the beach after it. Game finishes at, would finish at what, 1:30 in the afternoon? Go for a swim, Newport Beach or something. Beautiful day. Shout outs to our Patreon members, patreon.com/westlife. If you'd like to support and take part in the show, they're all our beautiful Patreons on the screen. The Discord been firing up or week as well. Oh, let's not forget our super chatters. Got a few super. The guys are supporting us again. Gussie Harris, man. Next time we see you at a game, I'm definitely going to buy you a beer because you've literally given us a case of beer so far this year. For $10, he said, I was a Balmain supporter since I was 6. 40 now. Gussie's 40. You definitely don't look a day over 39, Gussie. My mum used to drive me and my mate, a West fan, to Leichhardt all the time. As sad as it may be, we are the West Tigers and change is inevitable. And he also said, for another $2, Asua Kepa Owa era starts Monday.
It's got to start eventually, doesn't it? Crikey.
I think the last time he played at CommBank, didn't he say a homophobic slur? That was the last game that he played.
I'm not sure.
CommBank. Brandon W sent us $8. Good on you, Brandon. Old Parramatta Stadium game. We won 31-30. I've never before seen both sets of fans come out disappointing. Let's get the boys home Monday. I do remember seeing that game. It was Luke Burt missed a penalty goal, I believe. Troy, do you remember that one?
Was that potentially from the sideline, I think?
No, it was a penalty goal from about 35 minutes.
Who was the center, Troy, that you had? He was a bit of used to carry on a bit. He didn't really have a regular first grade career with you guys, but then he went to Manly. I can't think of his name. He's a bit of a nobody, and I remember him scoring a try and fist pumping. This might be the day, guys, that we're up.
Yeah, that's what he's talking about.
Just trying to think who it was.
I'm sure that's a Luke Burt missed a penalty goal to take the lead. Let us know,
actually,
Brandon.
Yeah, I think you could be right there. It was a fair way out. I think it was a bit further than 35. I think it was near halfway, I think.
Shane Collett, he's sent us $5 to say, get to Parramatta Stadium early. Get behind the mighty black and whites. He's supporting his Magpies there 100%. Yeah, support the New South Wales Cup side as well. Look, there's plenty to watch in the New South Wales Cup as well. Yeah, get out and support them as well. 100% there, Shane. Thank you to those three fellas supporting the show as always. Love you all. Thank you to the hundreds of you that are watching live tonight as well. Now, next week, obviously Monday, Az and I will be at the game, so we're not going to get back in time to get ready for a show Monday night. So we'll do Tuesday, 8:30 p.m. Now, with the team list coming out on Tuesday afternoon, we're going to go hard for, look, hopefully not 2 hours, but we're going to do both episodes back-to-back together. So the review and the preview for who are we playing as? The Dolphins, because it's a pretty quick turnaround to the Dolphins the following Friday.
Saturday.
So we'll do both on the YouTube. It'll be two episodes in one. I'll split them and into two episodes for the audio afterwards. But so get a cup of tea Tuesday night, because it's going to be a double episode. So going from the review into the preview in one hit, hopefully celebrating a win, Troy, for the West Tigers.
I think you'll be reviewing a loss from Monday night, Monday afternoon, I should say.
Big thank you for joining us from the cave tonight, mate. Really, really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me. Really appreciate it. And I've been thinking throughout the show of another Parramatta Tigers player, and one that I've had on the podcast, Johnny Simon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, don't forget Jordan Rankin as well, who just retired.
Yeah.
Someone mentioned Jason Moody before as well.
Yeah, they're all coming out now.
I'll throw one at you, Rob. Ian Herron.
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
Herron.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he was a great goal kicker too, wasn't he?
Yeah, I remember a big goal kicker. I remember watching him. So, Parramatta Stadium. So, my dad actually worked at Parramatta Leagues Club when the Tigers were the Sydney Tigers. So, I used to go to the Sydney Tigers games quite a lot. And I remember watching Ian Herron. I remember watching us against the South Queensland Crushers, and we beat them that day. Michael Gillette playing, big friend of the show, Shane Walker, in that one. So, yeah.
Two extinct teams.
It's funny, of all the Parramatta West Tigers games you mentioned, I think the 2009 one was, which we lost, unfortunately, goes down as one of the greatest games I've ever seen. And I felt like that night, whoever won that night was going to go on to the grand final. Unfortunately for us, Parra won, and they got to the grand final.
The chip and chase.
There was everything in that. There was the Benji flick pass to Ashford, which is the greatest pass I've ever seen. There was the Luke Burt.
Is that better than 2005?
That was 2009.
Yeah, but is that better? Is that a better flick pass than 2005?
I think so. Yeah.
100%. I don't think that could be replicated. I think it's the greatest pass I've ever seen.
The fact that he's shaped to Chris Lawrence coming inside and dummied, and then basically, yeah, like the flick pass in 2005, let's be honest, he didn't need to throw that one. Well, he didn't really need to throw the one in 2009 either, but it was...
On the replay, Josh, he did, though. Like, if you actually watch it in slow motion, like, if he doesn't
yeah.
shape one way, he freezes Eric Groth Jr.,
Yeah.
Like, it just worked out to be perfectly. And we'd had some injuries in during the game. I think we lost Bo Ryan and obviously that was the last game Taniela the Tank Tuiaki ever played. But, you know, we had Blake Aishwood on the left wing and, yeah, it was just, I think it's just one of the greatest passes I've ever seen. But there were just so many big moments in that game. You know, the Luke Burt 8-point try. We lost two wingers. I still remember Bryce Gibbs running down Jared Hayne midway through the second half. That was just crazy. And obviously the Hayne plane was too good. That's probably the greatest period of football by an individual ever. So, but that game forever haunts me. Like it was just it was a packed stadium as well that night.
Tuiaki's last game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Tuiaki's last game. Yeah. He got Ben Smith and Joel Reddied that night.
Yeah. And so, speaking of which, Josh Ratbag mentioned Jared McCracken too. It's his birthday today too, I believe. So, Eel into Tiger as well. So
it's another one, yeah.
Yeah.
He was a Bulldog as well, I think.
He was a Bulldog first, yeah, I believe, because on the 12th man, there's a 12th man bit with where he gets interviewed, I believe, as a Bulldog, and he says he changed his name from Phil. It was Phil McCracken.
Phil McCracken. Of course, yeah. He's got the perfect 12th man name, doesn't he? Jeez.
Yeah. Righto, Az, anything to add before we head off into the weekend? Can't wait to get out the Parramatta Stadium on Monday.
Yeah, just a couple of quick things. I'm really looking forward to the game. I think this is going to be an absolute cracker, especially with both teams coming off wins last weekend. I think it sets up to be an absolute beauty. I think Troy will agree with me when I say this, but I like Shane Cobert's profile picture there, the I hate Manly in the Manly colours. I think that's pretty good, being an old Fibros fan.
We can all agree on that.
One last thing, a big happy birthday to you, Josh, for tomorrow. Thank you.
I'm old, as someone said, guy said in the comments. He's 36 middle aged. That means I'm dying at 72. So it's not great, but thank you. Turning 18 for a second time. Double 18.
Hey, I'm adult half my life. I'm only 31, and you guys know all about how my body's already calling it quits on me.
Yeah, maybe old mate was right. Maybe we're basically middle-aged men, middle-aged white men talking sport.
Well, your football team can do that to you sometimes.
Yeah, we're the only ones on the internet doing that. Righto, as always, Troy, feel free, a tradition at the end of every episode, go the Tigers.
Go the Tigers.
Go the Tigers.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the West Life Podcast. Please follow us at West Life Pod on Instagram and Twitter and facebook.com/West Life Pod. You can also support and take part in the show at patreon.com/West Life and give us a subscribe on YouTube and turn notifications on. We'll see you again next time on another episode of the West Life Podcast.